55 today. How many of you are excited? We're a third of the way through the Sermon on the Mount. One third today. So we'll be done by 2022. No problem. Definitely. Sermon this morning is called, it's interesting that it's all these things that have gone on, praying and everything else, but the sermon this morning is called Inheriting a Blessing. Inheriting a Blessing. Again, how many people want to inherit a blessing? Yeah. All right, Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Here's what it says. Jesus speaking, you've heard us that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, everybody say therefore. Everybody say it again. You are to be perfect. Doesn't that feel good? You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. How many people think we're falling short of that one? But look, if Jesus says that this is the call, then there's got to be a way to hit it. Can I get amen? First off, just a little bit of review here. What I really notice is that this particular five or six verses here really ties into last week, which is we talked about turning the other cheek, right? How many people like that sermon? Nobody, in Jesus' name, right? A few people after church, we had lunch together, and they were like, Pastor, man, I need to hear that. Right? And think about it, man. I mean, I watch preachers. Probably a lot of us watch preachers. Churches don't teach this stuff anymore. Right? It's all this, always this cool stuff. You know, God's going to bless you. It's always, every sermon's just about how good God's going to be to you. And it's like, but what are we supposed to do? Right? We'll talk about that a little bit more this morning. So number one, this really ties right back into last week, right? Hit you on the cheek, turn to the cheek. Slapping someone on the cheek in the Middle Eastern culture is the ultimate insult. He's not talking about being physically abused. He's talking about being offended. Right? Somebody offends you. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Is that all you got? Come on, you got to have something better than that one. Right? Jesus is like, man, that's what we've got to do. Bless you. Number two, I don't see anything here. This should make you guys feel better. This suggests that we need to be like friends with our enemies. Doesn't say that. Doesn't that sound better, right? I don't see anything here or anything from last week's passage that suggests that Jesus is making some kind of blanket dogmatic theological statement that we need to remain in an abusive, belittling situation just because we're Christians. I can't find anything in the Word of God that says I need to stay in this abusive environment just because I'm a Christian. Turn the other cheek, brother. Dude, that's taking the teachings of Jesus and twisting that. Can I get amen? However, I also can't find anywhere in the Bible that says just because we're in a tough situation, we can bail. Ah, this is no good. I'm out. See, what we need to do is really determine, am I supposed to be in this situation? Am I here on mission, right? Is there something I need to learn? Is there something I need to deposit? Is there something I need to pray about? Is there someone I need to bless? Is there someone I need to witness to? Is there something I need to do in this situation that I'd rather not be in? Amen. So I some of you saw this. I did a Facebook video earlier this week. I'm going to kind of rehash it a little bit here because it's really powerful. Going to tie some stuff together here. Hopefully we all track with it. But the opening statement from Jesus in verse 43, you should love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Hate your enemies, that second phrase there, cross-references to Deuteronomy 23. And I want you to, if you want to turn there with me, they're going to put up on the screen. Deuteronomy, this is a whole section. There's several chapters in there where the Lord is teaching Israel how to live in the promised land. All right, when you get, I love this little side note here, right? Here's an easy way to to determine if someone's walking in a religious spirit or in the Holy Spirit. Here it is, ready? Church, how church does stuff, religious spirit is going to tell you that you've got to do certain things to get into the promised land, which is not what the Bible says. When the Lord starts giving them instructions and the law and all these different things, he says, when you get to the land I'm going to give you, be sure you do this. When you get to the land I'm going to give you, be sure you do this, be sure you do this. It's not how you get into the land, it's how you stay in the land. Can I get amen? It's like getting saved. There's nothing you can do to get saved except say yes to Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. But then the Bible is really clear, super unpopular here. I'm going to say something, but the Bible is pretty clear that now that we are saved, we need to start living a certain way. Right? Once saved, always saved. Garbage, man. That's absolute garbage. Straight from the pit of hell. I can show you all kinds of scriptures that says I can lose my salvation by doing certain things. It's wrong. Can I get amen? So here's the context. The Lord is teaching, talking to Israel about how to, certain things they need to do in the promised land. And if you read this section here, he's talking about the Ammonites and the Moabites. And he's saying to Israel, do not allow them into your assembly for 10 generations, the Lord says. 10 generations. Here's why. Verse 4, because they did not meet you with food and water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing. The Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Man, did that hit me so good. I forget what day it was, Wednesday or Thursday, or something, put this video up. And, you know, I've had this thing in my spirit for a long time. I don't know, just like some Christians get all hung up in like, you've been, so-and-so cursed you, so cursed. Like, okay, there's some truth in that, but my goodness gracious. Look, if somebody wants to curse me, knock yourself out. Bring it. I've actually grown to a point where, you know what? The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. You ain't got at least a couple folks mad. You ain't living for Jesus. Come on, church. Got a super good friend of mine. I'm not going to delve into our relationship, but really, really good friend. And he owns his own business. Doesn't come to church here, whatever. Christian brother. And I realized, like, I'm helping this guy kind of work through some business stuff. And I realized, I'm like, wow, this guy, I did what he's doing right now. And he's running his business trying to make every single person happy in his business. And the way this business is set up, he just can't do it. It's impossible. And I've been encouraging him, bro, look, you built this business. You paid for it. You took the loan out. You launched it with a vision. Tell these people that they're upset. Here's my vision. Here's how we do it around here. You don't need to be mean and angry. Just say, look, we love you. Thank you for your input. Here's what we're doing here. And if you don't like what we're doing, there's a few other places you can go and do the same thing. Pastor Jim, man. I remember, some of y'all know Pastor Jim. I remember the first time I saw him here, long time ago. And it was a leaders meeting. I think it was my first leaders meeting I ever came to. And he says this. He says, look, people come to your church and they don't like it. He says, you know, this is what he says. If we don't wash your car right, there's a couple car washes down the street. I'll recommend a couple to you. Right? But it's like, what? I realized, like, my gosh, I did the same thing my first 4 or 5 years pastor, and I was trying to make every single person happy. Okay, you like it like this. You like it 68 degrees. You like it 72. You like it 90. You like it loud. You like it soft. You like the lights up. You like the lights down. Oh, my goodness. I was like, look, it's going to be 73. All right, suck it up. Amen, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Got caught up in this whole thing about like, trying to make everybody happy. And you know what? You can make nobody happy if you try to make everybody happy. Right? I know that there's been people left here mad. Sorry. Can I get amen? Am I digging this hole too deep or not? Are we all right? People want to get angry. Just, you want to curse me? Go for it. Because you know what? In my heart, I'm doing the best I can do before the Lord. And if I can honestly say that, then you know what God's going to do? Turn that curse into a blessing. Because he loves me. Because he loves me. Because he loves you. Church, if you're walking with Jesus, people and stuff is going to come at you. You can't avoid it. Bring it on. Feels good. Is that all right? Back to Matthew 5. Jesus says this, next verse. So we have love your enemies, hate your neighbor. Love your enemies, hate your neighbor. Praise God! That's a good gospel. Love your neighbor, hate your enemies. Right? But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that, everybody say so that. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his, look at what it says. He causes his Son, S-U-N, not the Son. He's like, that's mine. I never even noticed that. I was reading through, I was like, whoa. He's like, that's my Son. That's my moon. Those stars, those are mine too. All those planets, all mine. Galaxies, all mine. It's all my stuff. You get to live in it. Dad, this is my room. Nope. It's my room, and I'm letting you live in it. That's my bed, and you can sleep in it. Those are my clothes. They just fit you. I think part of the reason our kids are so jacked up is they're like, this is my room. You can't come in. Well, your room's in my house, so guess what? I can come in whenever I want to. Can I get amen? That ain't your stuff. I bought it. It's my stuff. I'm letting you use it. And if we'd understand that that's how that God owns everything, we'd stop being such babies and so selfish about everything that God's given us. I'm in a good mood today, everybody. Amen. Verse 44, Jesus says to love your enemies. The Greek word is agapeo, verb. Right? Come on, church. You guys remember I taught on this not too long ago. I thought forever, 20 years of a walk with the Lord, I thought that agape was the root word in the Greek. Agapeo is the root word in the Greek. And agape is built off of that. See, agape, we talk about agape all the time in church. Sloppy agape is what we got going on in most of the churches, right? Like, loving somebody, I can never correct anybody. I can never say anything wrong. Garbage. It's garbage. If I love somebody, I'm going to say, bro, you better cut it out. Come on, everybody's got kids. If your kids are going to do something that's going to land them in jail, you better say something as a parent. The Lord will hold you responsible as a parent if you don't discipline your children. I'm just going to say something. Man, I'm in such a good mood today. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to look at nobody. Look, this is just how it is. The Bible says if you raise your kids in the ways that they should go, they will not depart from it when they get older. So, if kids go off the rails and they get older, whose fault is it? Lord, help me live that one out. Look, and that's not condemning. Please hear what I'm saying, church. Look, if some of you kids have gone off the rails, just cry to God. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Show me where I blew it. Show me how to fix it because God wants it fixed. Can I get amen? God wants your children in the house of God. He wants your kids on fire for the Lord. He wants all this young generation. Kids are turning away from the church left and right nowadays in America. The Lord doesn't want it like that. But the problem is, my beloved, is that we are not living in our homes the way that we should be. Nehemiah commissioned families. Families, right? Families. Guys, look, we don't pray for hours at my house. My goodness, I'm not talking about being weird. Man, grab biblical truth and live it in your home. That simple. Honor the Lord in your home and God will bless you. Can I get amen? Is this all right? Agapeo, Jesus says, your enemies. Wow. What's he saying? Do something that is the opposite of what they're doing to you. See, enemy in the Greek word, it just means someone who opposes you. That's all that means, right? So it could be, you know, coworker. Hopefully not a spouse, but who knows? It could be kids, could be family, right? How many people got family that doesn't know the Lord and gives you a hard time? Right? Dude, don't get sucked into that stuff. Let them talk. All right, whatever, bro. Take care, you know? Right? Come on, church. He's saying, don't get sucked into this stuff, but do something that eventually, the Bible is very, very clear that if we continue to agapeo people that come against us, at some point, Paul says it like this, that you will what? Heap coals of burning fire on their head. What's that mean? It's conviction. They're going to start going, man, I don't understand you. All I do is make fun of you. All I do is persecute you. All I do is make fun of your religion. You go to church and Jesus, all this. Why don't you ever come back at me? I can't tell you how many people that have mocked me and come after me that at some point I get a text saying, hey, man, can you pray for me? Dozens, church. Now, did they come to church? Not yet. But I learned a little while ago, it's the trick of the devil to try to suck me into that stupid garbage. Don't say stupid. Our 4-year-old, every time she hears it, Dad, don't say stupid. Teaching them right, you know. The other day she says, Everly, as our 4-year-old, she said, Dad, you say lots of bad words. Raise your children in the way they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart from it. Dude. My 2 older ones, their thing was they'd sit in the back seat, and I had a car at the time with a digital speedometer. Like, not this one. Dad, you're speeding. Shut up. You're going to be late if you make your walk, so. Kids are great. Do you see this, church? Love your enemies. Agapeo. Do something from the heart of God for that person. And then he says, pray for those who persecute you. Here's the crazy thing, right? Pray. Let's face it. If we would typically, like what we think about pray, somebody's persecuting me, right? Which again, basically means similar word to oppose, to cause to flee, right? Trying to make you run. Right? Trying to make you back down. Persecute. We would think, oh, Lord, let the fire of heaven fall on them, you know. Like, we'd like judge them, right? This judgment kind of prayer. But that's not the Greek word that Jesus used there. Means to pray something advantageous for them. Right? Advantage, right? Pray. He's like, look, it's not, Lord, I release the conviction of heaven on them. No. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying to pray a blessing on those that are persecuting you. Ouch. So that, everybody say so that. Let's say it again. So that. So that, denoting, right? I do verse 44, and then verse 45 is what I get, right? So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Wow. So let's think about this for a minute. How many times, just raise your hand, let's be honest, we're in church, how many times have you gone through a tough season, been persecuted at work, family, whatever it is, and you'd call somebody and say, can you please pray for me? Right? Only 6 of you, the rest of you are lying? Come on, church. That's jacked up. Hey, what does Jesus say? He doesn't say pray for yourself. He doesn't say ask for prayer. Pray for them. You know what he's saying? Think about this. Because again, this whole sermon is about a foundation, building a life that doesn't crack when the storms hit. He says you need to get to a place by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb where you expect persecution. It doesn't blow you off course anymore. You're like, ah, fine, man. I knew you were a jerk anyway, so it's fine. I'm going to bless you, bro. I'm going to pray for you. I don't care what you say to me. It doesn't bother me one bit. Doesn't that sound amazing? Could you imagine living a life where it doesn't matter how somebody treated you, you're like, man, I'm totally good. That's literally impossible without Jesus. Right? Because if without Jesus, all I got is me, and I'm a mess. So that was a loud amen back there. You're right, Pastor. You are a mess. Amen. Praise God. Look what he says, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. So think about this. You know, people say, I got saved 20 years ago. I got saved 30 years ago. I got saved 40 years ago. I'm a son of God. Jesus is not talking about legally, church. He's talking about relationally. I preach this all the time in our church, right? He's not talking about the act of getting saved, right? I got saved 22 years ago, right? He's not talking about that. So when I got saved 22 years ago, there was legal paper signed in heaven. Boom, I'm a son of God legally, right? The Lord adopted me. The spirit of adoption came in to my heart, joined himself with my spirit. I cried out, Abba, Father, right? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that we need to start acting like we're saved. We need to start living lives that prove to the people that are coming at us that we have a different Father. That we've got different DNA running through our blood and our veins, man, right? I've got a different heritage. Is that all right? This is what he's talking about. If you look at the Greek phrasing there, it's like, so that you may prove yourselves to be sons of God. And man, read Paul's letters. Paul hits that almost every letter, hits that concept over and over and over, right? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Walk in a manner worthy. Yes, you're called. Walk in it, man. Live a life that will line up with what God's called you to do, who God's called you to be, right? I was talking with another friend the other day on the phone in this. They had a friend of theirs called, and they were in a Bible study somewhere, and this someone in the Bible study says, hey, man, if they were talking about predestination, right? Oh, my goodness, have we jacked that one up in the church. Goodness gracious. So this is what some people think, and I know where they get it from. I know right where they're getting it, and I know how they're twisting it around. Well, man, there's certain people are predestined to be saved, so they can do whatever they want, and they're going to get saved no matter what because they're predestined. Oh, my goodness, no. Look, church, everyone is predestined to get saved if you hear the Father drawing you to the Son. And then once you get saved, you know what you're predestined to do? Is become like Jesus. That's what we're predestined to do, all in Romans chapter 8. Can I get amen? Read it, Romans 8, 26, right through 31, 32, right around in there, right? That's where it says it. Can I get amen, right? The point is, church, we're taking these things and twisting this stuff around so badly, and it's like, and then we're teaching, and people are like, look, Christians, I can do whatever I want. No, you cannot. No, you can't. You know what's crazy? We're going to get into this inherited blessing. I'll be done by 2. I'm not talking about salvation, church. I'm talking about walking in the fullness of the calling with which you've been called. I'm talking about, Paul says that all of creation's waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Look, you get saved. You're not revealed as a son of God because God has no idea if you're going to be stupid or not. Don't say stupid. Can I get amen, church? Look at how many of us, just be honest, how many of you have looked in the mirror and be like, what the heck is wrong with me? How many people have looked at other people and be like, what the heck's wrong with you? Right? Come on. There's sometimes I'm like, am I even saved? I don't know what's going on, right? Some of the stuff, thoughts that come into your mind once in a while, you're like, oh my goodness gracious, where'd that one come from? Right? Little side note, every thought in your head's not yours. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's turn over there. The reason, my beloved, that we need to pray for those who persecute us, so that we may be sons of our Father who is in heaven. The rest of the verse he says, because God makes his son, to rise on the just and the unjust. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? And he says, here's the thing. Paul says this over in the book, not Paul, but in the book of Acts, there's another thing where it's got to be Peter, I guess, that is just talking over there, and he says something similar. But here's what the Lord really put on my heart about this. He says, look, God is good to everyone. That's what he says. I let my son rise on the just and the unjust. I send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. I am good. The Bible says God has given all men the ability to gain wealth, good or evil, sinner, saint, righteous, unrighteous, right? The Lord is the one who gives everyone the ability to make money because he's good, right? And that's what the scripture says, that the goodness of God causes men to turn to repentance. At some point, what we should be praying about for people that know the Lord is say, Lord, help them to see that that good stuff in their life is because of you. Help them see it, God. Help them see it. And what should happen when they realize that the good things are not because they're working hard, but because God is good, it should reveal the sinfulness in their heart, and it causes them to turn. Is that all right? 1 Peter 3. Really, I love this section, guys. If you back them into the end of chapter 2, you can read all chapter 2, verse 21, back it all the way up. But we're just going to read a couple of verses here and do a little bit of teaching. We'll tie some things in here. To sum up, verse 8, all of you, ever say all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Talking back to everybody that says something mean to you and getting in fist fights every single day. Verse 9, get it up there, man. Where's my verse 9? There we go. Ooh. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Now look it, if we stopped right there, it's already tough. Right? Come on, church. Somebody comes at you, man, does you just something rise up, and it's not the Holy Ghost. Right? You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. That's a reference to the Hulk, if you didn't know that. Right? Oh. Kind of looking like the Hulk naturally over here, you know what I mean? Getting there. Yeah. That's right. Another year or so, I'll be right there, ripping shirts up here. I just got to buy smaller shirts. That's what I got to do. Look what he says, church. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Wow. Man. Peter's like, well, Pastor, I kept my mouth shut. Good job, Junior. Not good enough. It's not good enough. You want to be a son of God or not? Here's the deal. Pastor and I were talking about this the other day. I've preached this before. Anybody that's either had kids or got kids or been a kid, so that's everybody, right? When we were growing up, you know, if I wanted the car keys from my dad, there were certain requirements that I had to meet in order to use the card. That was a privilege, not a right. Do you understand? I had to show myself responsible enough to enjoy that privilege. Can I get amen? We got some parents that are really jacking things up now in our culture, right? Your kid does not have a right to do certain things. As a parent, you need to put clothes on their back, food in their belly, and give them a place to live. That's it. Everything else, they got to earn it. Got one amen and a yup over here somewhere. Praise God. Amen, church. Look, kids need to be taught stuff ain't free. You got to earn it. Can I get amen? We got to earn stuff in the church. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? As sons, the Lord is going to watch our lives and say, can I trust you yet with this anointing? Can I trust you yet with this responsibility? Pastor, what do you talk about? How about the parable of the talents? There's an easy one. Five guy makes five more, two guy makes two more, one guy buries it, does nothing. The guy that's got 10, not only does he get more stuff, but he takes the guy that's got one. The guy that's got one, he says, take the one gift of the guy with 10. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful in this thing that doesn't even matter, now I'm going to give you something that does. That's kingdom, church. The Lord is going to watch us. Are you growing? Are you changing? Are you letting the Spirit of God adjust and work in your heart to a way that I can give you this level of power, this level of authority, this level of anointing, and you're not going to abuse it and hurt people with it? That's what fasting's really supposed to do, y'all. Fasting's not twisting God's arm. God's like, wow, you skipped bacon cheeseburgers for a week. Now I'll do something. Fasting, when I'm done fasting, I should be more like Jesus. And if I'm not, then I lost weight, and that's all that happened. Which is probably all right. Is that all right, church? You understand what I'm saying? Fasting, when I'm done fasting, I should be more like Jesus. That's the goal of fasting. That's why certain things can be done when fasting's over. Because God says, now I can trust you. You're more like my son. I can release some more power, some more anointing in your life because you're not going to abuse it. We got it right here from Peter. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For, everybody say for. For you were called for the very purpose, look at how powerful this is, that you might inherit a blessing. Now, seriously, this sermon could be like 4 hours long, all right? That's not going to be. It's going to be 3 hours and 45 minutes. But if you really look at the word blessing here, it's tying back in. You know what he's tying it back into the releasing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter's talking about, church. Not a new car, not a new job. God will give you that stuff just because he's good. He's talking about authority in the spirit realm. When I see that you're no longer responding to the persecution, you're no longer responding to people insulting you, you're no longer responding to the enemy coming at you, trying to jack you all up, you know, insulting you and mocking you, all these things. The Lord says, man, you stop responding. Not only did you stop responding to it, but you started responding to it with kingdom. Now there's a blessing I can give you. Wow. Early this morning, I was going through this last section here, and the Lord said to me this. He said, so look, you're either positioning yourself for a blessing or you're positioning yourself for a curse. It's up to you which one you want. If you think about this, Peter's saying, if I return a blessing for someone cursing me, I'm positioning myself to inherit a blessing. Well, then the opposite has to be true. If I get dragged into this silly banter back and forth and name-calling and insulting people and all this stuff, then I must be agreeing with the enemy and positioning myself for a curse. Because Jesus says, you're for me, you're against me. There is no gray area. There's so much teaching in the church. Oh, there's all this gray area. Oh, my goodness. No, there's not. You're in or you're out, man. No spiritual hokey-pokey around here, man. We get in, and my goodness, I'm glad that the Lord is patient and kind, aren't you? Because I've done a little hokey-pokey once in a while myself. Yeah, I'm going to take my right foot out for just a little bit, shake it all about. Think about this, church. I hope you're catching this because it's so powerful. Does God have good things in store for us? Thoughts of good and not evil. Things that eye has not seen or ear has heard or has entered the heart of man laid up for us. Yes, yep, and you betcha. But we need to access those things somehow. And it's not just because you got saved. It is allowing the character of God to be developed in us by the Spirit of God. That's it. I'm not talking about gifts, y'all, because God gives gifts to men. Gifts are given without repentance. Can I get amen? We got ministers falling left and right in the church in America today that are super gifted preachers, worship leaders, songwriters, all kinds of stuff, man. Lay hands on sick folks, they get better. Gifts. Those are all gifts. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about character. I'm talking about integrity, right? This is what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. And Peter's backing up here. We are called to inherit the blessing. But unless we decide by the power of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Word of God that we're going to be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, the inheritance will not come. He's not talking about getting saved. He's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about seeing the goodness of God in the land of living. He's talking about accessing the things that God has ready for me while I'm still walking on the earth. Are you going to walk the walk I've called you to walk? Amen. Romans 12, almost done. Praise the Lord. Everybody all right? Man, it's so quiet. You guys are like, this is terrible. Romans 12, y'all there? Here we go. We're going to go a little bit more because it feels so good already. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. The Greek word for curse, church, means to pray something bad. Wow. Lord, let conviction fall. That is not a good prayer, y'all. That's a curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, prideful, right? But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Wow. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let me say something right here. A good friend of mine posted something on Facebook earlier this week, almost done. He said there's a difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. The church is twisting those things around. If you're a peacekeeper, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bow down to everybody. The Bible doesn't say blessed are the peacekeepers. It says blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. One of the Beatitudes, right? Number 6, I think it is, or whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying, church? Paul is not saying here, as much as is possible with you, live in peace with all men. He's not saying, hey, no matter where everybody's at, no matter how they live their life, just bow down. Bow down to this person, bow down to that person, bow down here. But No. He's saying, look, you have the peace of the kingdom living in you, and what you're called to do is walk into a situation that's full of turmoil and full of evil and full of darkness and confusion and make peace in that situation. Sometimes it's like, man, can we pray, like for real, out loud right now? Sometimes it's, I'm just going to start praying in this spell. Shut it up on Sunday, my like, in the, I bind the devil. Can I get amen? I know some of you do this. But God's saying, we all got to be doing it. Church, I'm telling you, there are some crazy times coming real soon. Crazy. I hope I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I will do a backflip off the subwoofer. Probably not, because I'd die. In my heart, I'll do one. All right. Man, I'll be so happy. I'll eat a whole pizza. All right. I could do that for sure. You know what I'm saying? But church, mark my words. I'm telling you, there are crazy, crazy, crazy times coming in our country very soon. And if we have not got this stuff in our spirit, we're not going to make it. We've got to fight on our hands. Can I get amen? Never pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge. Isn't that so hard? Never take your own revenge, my beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Right? For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. But look at the next, oh my gosh, I've never even thought about it like this till right now. Thank you, Lord. Look at the next verse. He literally tells us how to release the wrath of God on somebody. How many people want to know how to do that? Yeah, sign me up. What he says, look, don't take your own revenge. Make room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Not with something that's like moldy. Right? Like, I'd have to take somebody to Little City or something. You know what I mean? Like, something that I like to eat. If, Rachel, you don't just mind your business back there. I heard that. Rachel's got to get saved. She don't like Little City. She needs the Holy Ghost. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Be kind. Be kind. No matter what, be kind. Is that? It's so simple and so incredibly difficult. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. A couple more just quick little thoughts, and then I have something I just want to read short here from a book I'm using in this series. I'm just going to finish up with this. So got a couple of verses here towards the end, guys. He talks about, if you only love those who love you, you're no better than a tax collector. So I remember I saw Andy Stanley do this teaching on this one time, and he says, you know, it's crazy. I never thought about it, but he says, isn't it interesting in the Gospels that tax collectors have their own category of jacked up? I looked it up. It's like it's at least 12 times in the Gospels, depending on your translation. Tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors and sinners. And you're like, man, they must have been really messed up. They get their own zip code. You know what I mean? Jesus is like, you're a sinner, but you're a tax collector. All right, dude, you got to get saved twice. All right. I mean, come on, church. I pay taxes twice a year. I think they're still in that category. Can I get amen, right, from somebody? Every time I get my car tax bill, I'm like, definitely a sinner for sure. No doubt about it. Right? I walk in there, I bind the devil in the tax collector's office, you know. But notice Jesus says, if you only love agapeo, those who agapeo you, you're not better than a tax collector. Tax collectors in that culture, my beloved, were corrupt. Typically, they were actually Jews working for the Romans. So the Jews looked at the tax collectors as you're betraying us. You're partnering with the enemy. Most of the tax collectors would take too much tax on purpose. That's why when Matthew gets called by the Lord, Matthew says, look, I'm a righteous man. If I've ever overcharged somebody by taxes, I give it all back, like four times as much back, or however he says it right there, right? Matthew knows. He's like, I know I'm corrupt. I'm jacked up. I know it. Right? But Jesus is saying, if we only love those who love us, he says, you are corrupt. You're a tax collector. Ow. Owie. Man, doesn't that hurt so bad? Oh. Love your enemies. Crazy. If you only greet your brethren, the Gentiles do the same. Gentile, the Greek word just means unbelievers. Unbelievers do the same thing. Right? Be kind, bless, love those who persecute you. Lastly, the last verse there is that you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here's what Oswald Chambers says about this. Let's stand up. Just going to read this super fast. I'm not going to expound on it at all because it needs nothing. Our Lord says back in verse 30 of chapter 5, it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. He's referring to a maimed life. Everybody say maimed life, right? In verse 48, then Jesus says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is our Father in heaven maimed? Has he a right arm cut off or a right eye plucked out? In verse 48, Jesus completes the picture that he began to give us in verse 30. Our Lord's statement embraces the whole of spiritual life from the beginning to the end. In verses 29 and 30, he pictures a maimed life. In verse 48, he pictures a fully orbed life of holiness. Holiness means a perfect balance between my disposition and the laws of God. The maimed life is the characteristic at the beginning, And if we have not had that characteristic, it is questionable whether we have ever received the Holy Spirit at all. Do you understand? He's saying, church, I said I was going to expound. I'm going to expound just right here. That's it. He's saying, if you have not gone through a time when the Spirit of God has said, you need to cut that out of your life. And you're like, yeah, but it's good. It's my right hand. I need that. Cut it off. Oswald is saying, if you've not gone through that, you have never received the Holy Spirit. Wow. What the world calls fanaticism is the entrance into spiritual life. We have to begin the life with God as maimed souls. The swing of the pendulum makes us go to the opposite extreme of what we were in the life of the world. We're so afraid of being fanatical, but would be to God we were as afraid of being inadequate. We should 1,000 times rather be fanatical in the beginning than poor, inadequate creatures all our lives, limp and useless. May we get to the place where we're willing to cut off the right arm, to pluck out the right eye, to enter into life lame and maimed, having cut off whatever there was need to be cut off, however beautiful it was to us. And blessed be the name of God, we shall find that he will bring every life that obeys him back to a fully orbed unity. In other words, church, he's saying you can't be perfect without getting maimed. Wow. Father, we thank you right now. What a strong word, but it's the truth. Some of us in this room this morning, some of us watching online, probably have been through those seasons of just incredible, this hurts so much. Seasons of shame. Oh, Pastor, the Lord doesn't give us shame. You know, that's not true. The Lord will, Paul says literally to one of his churches, shame on you. Shame on you for what you're doing. But the Lord doesn't leave us in shame. He exposes it. He exposes our sin. He exposes our wickedness. And when that shame comes on us and Ezekiel says, you'll loathe yourselves. You'll hate yourself. But the Lord says, that's a step you need to make in order to become perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, Father, we thank you this morning that those seasons of pain and those seasons of discipline and those seasons of chastising and those seasons of you dealing with us, God, that's part of the journey as sons and daughters of God. We have to go through that season, Lord. But as we endure it, as we press through, as we hang on, Lord, you promise that we will emerge perfect, God. We will emerge strong. We will emerge healthy, God. We will emerge whole. Whole. And those are the people that could return a blessing when curses are coming. So Lord, we want to be as Peter said. We want to inherit a blessing, God. We want to inherit what you have stored up for us. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us this week, Lord. Let this be a week where we're really more aware of how we're responding to persecution and offense and all those types of things, Lord. Help us be more aware of it. And let us hear the Spirit of God in our hearts saying, whoa, 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 back up. Bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have an awesome week. Facebook and YouTube. Bless you guys. Thank you so much. Anybody that needs prayer, please.